genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to give you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is death and dying. I know, not a very cheery subject, but you'll see how it all fits together, though. Each of my guests is discussing something related to death or dying. My first guest is the CEO of a manufacturing company that manufactures nutritional supplements and health products. He's written a book enumerating the different ways our houses are trying to kill us. We'll discuss his findings from the book, The Healthy Home. My second guest is a television personality and professional psychic medium. He's the star of Crossing Over with John Edward and John Edward Cross Country. We'll discuss the growing interest in psychic phenomenon and his forthcoming tour. My third guest is a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. She's following the evolving story in Libya and the United Nations Security Council resolution for a no-fly zone. We'll address the question of whether the United Nations is acting as an agent for United States foreign policy in Libya. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Dave Wentz, is the Chief Executive Officer of USANA, which is a health science, state-of-the-art manufacturer of nutritional supplements and health products. He and his brother Myron are the authors of the book, The Healthy Home, Simple Truths to Protect Your Family from Hidden Household Dangers. Dave received his bachelor's degree in bioengineering from the University of California in San Diego. He now lives with his wife and children in Salt Lake City, Utah, where he enjoys skydiving, playing volleyball, soccer, mountain biking, and skiing on Utah's famous powder. Welcome to the show, Dave. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on board. Now, I find it interesting that somebody who engages in life-threatening activities like skydiving, mountain biking, and skiing writes about the ways that our homes are trying to kill us. In your book, however, you really do write about the hidden risks of the average homes. In what ways have our homes become more dangerous?
Well, there are a number of different hazards that have snuck into our house, and we just don't realize it because the warning signs aren't there, or it's in fine print, or it's not known as a danger yet. And so with this book, we try to make people aware of the hidden dangers, because once you're aware, you can make simple changes that can reduce your toxic burden in your home. And that's where people spend a majority of their lives. I know even with all my travel schedule, I'm here a majority of my life. My wife probably spends three-quarters of her time in the home, and so that's her environment. That's what her toxic burden is, and so if we make it a healthy place, she will be much healthier.
Well, toxic burden. Now, there's an interesting term. I like that. In your book, you write about living by the precautionary principle to help protect your family. What is it that you call the precautionary principle, and how does one implement it in their house?
Well, what we're trying to point out is that science is going to go much faster for innovation and products people can make money off than the science for safety's purpose. Safety science is going to take much longer, not be funded as well. It's going to come after. People want to get their products to market. And so a lot of times we get products that they don't realize are unsafe until down the road, and we're so used to using them that they just become commonplace. And so we're just trying to let people know what those dangerous products or things are. And some of them we don't know for sure yet. The science isn't there, but you have a gut feeling or some common sense based on some commonalities with other things to say, most likely this isn't good for you, and it may very well be bad for you. Why not take some precautions just in case, so that when the science does show up 10 years down the road, you were safe rather than sorry?
Well, now, see, that's a very good point that you make, Dave, that the safety science lags behind the product science. And I think that anybody who thinks about that, all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. That's logically true. Give us some examples of products that over time were proved to be unsafe, even though they had been on the market for a while.
Well, just for instance, asbestos. It took 80 years for the government to ban asbestos, and we all know it's bad now, but for years, people were using that in their homes. We talk a little bit about mercury in the book. The hat shops back in the 1800s, the people who worked in the manufacturing plants that made those black top hats, they used mercury in the process, and that's where the term mad as a hatter came from. Those people were going crazy from being exposed to those mercury vapors. And so for years, that damage was done before we learned to protect ourselves from things like that. But still, there are other places that we find mercury, such as in our CFL light bulbs or in the silver fillings of our teeth. Those mercury sources create vapors that we breathe that can make us mad as a hatter if we get too much of them.
Wow. I mean, that's scary stuff. We're talking to Dave Wentz, everybody, co-author of the book, The Healthy Home, Simple Truths to Protect Your Family from Hidden Household Dangers. And Dave, I do believe that my house is out to get me, and I'm not just being paranoid about this either. But my house is clean, you know, and I view that as a good thing. But you write that clean isn't always riskless, that there are risks in many of the things that we use to clean. For instance, you point out dry cleaning and other household cleaners. So tell me, first of all, what's wrong with dry cleaning, and what do we do with our dry cleaning clothes if we, you know, dry clean only clothes if we can't dry clean them?
Exactly. Yeah, I had no idea what dry cleaning was when I first started into this book. It was a complete mystery. Just dropped off the clothes and they came back clean, ready to go. But then I found out dry cleaning isn't even dry. What they do is they use PERC, which is a gasoline-like liquid, the consistency. And they put the clothes in it, and then they leave that chemical in the clothes. They don't rinse it out or clean it out. It just stays in the clothes. And then it off-gasses.
And what does off-gas mean?
It just means it goes into the air, so you breathe it.
Ah.
And they know that this chemical is toxic. In fact, California has banned it, but the funny thing is they haven't banned it for 12 more years. So even though they know it's toxic, they've said you have to get rid of it until it's 12 years once the dry cleaners can come up with other solutions. So they're allowing people to be poisoned, but they want the economy of the dry cleaners to be saved and have time to transition.
I see. All right. Well, what about other household chemicals? I mean, my wife uses vinegar to clean. We use ammonia to clean, those kinds of things. They've been around literally for decades, maybe even hundreds of years. But talk to me about some of the chemicals and the household cleaners that we're using. Are they dangerous to us?
Well, the things that are toxic, the things that kill, we're so worried about sterilizing our homes and killing all the germs. When really there are germs, our immune systems are used to the germs that we'll find around the house. We just need to wash them away and wash them down the sink. We don't necessarily need to use bleach or something that's toxic to kill, sterilize, and destroy, because things that kill the germ cells also kill any other cell. They're not selective in choosing what they kill. Whatever they come in contact with, they will kill. And so by scouring the bathroom so that your nose is burning from all the fumes. Yeah, you're killing some germs in your shower, but you're breathing all those things that are killing your own body cells. And so why sterilize versus just wash away some germs? Keep them at a low enough level that your body can completely handle those germs. They're yours. And just don't sterilize. That's what we're saying. That modification and cleaning mentality will reduce the toxic burden on your body.
All right, we're talking to Dave Wentz, everybody, co-author of the book, The Healthy Home. And Dave, you break it really down by room in the house, and I want to go through that with you right now, starting with the bedroom. You know, because I think of my bedroom as my sanctuary, but according to you, that's just not true. Tell me, what are some of the hidden dangers in the bedroom?
Well, people need to realize they spend a third of their lives in the bedroom, most likely, if not more. And so they are getting exposed to whatever is in that environment. One thing we talk about a lot is open windows. Cheap and expensive way to make your home healthier, because the air inside your home is up to 4 or 5 times more polluted than the air outside. What we don't realize is the air inside came from outside, but then we concentrate and add those bleaches, those cleaners, those fragrances, those other chemicals, the dry cleaning that's sitting in the bedroom closet. All those things are adding to the pollution in your bedroom air. open a window and let the outside air, which we always look out in L.A. or whatever and think it's more polluted, it's actually less polluted than the air inside.
Now, that's a very simple thing.
Yeah, open a window. That's a simple step. We also look at all of the gadgets that have invaded our homes, and this is one of the precautionary principle items. We're not sure what all the man-made electrical fields do, all the radio fields, electric fields that we're subjecting ourselves to. Our cells are electric. We're electric beings, and so we don't know what these man-made forces or our energies are doing to our cells, and we're still studying to learn. But take a precautionary principle and move those gadgets off your nightstand so they're not a couple feet away from your brain while you're sleeping for 8 hours. You don't know what they're doing. We don't want to find out the hard way. We'd rather be safe. Remove the iPhone charger, remove a couple of the gadgets, slide the lamp away. Just create some distance. The closer they are to you, the more that electric field is affecting your cells.
So things like the portable phones, get that away. Things like the router for your computer, don't have that too close to your desk in the office at your home. Those kinds of precautions?
Yeah, just create as much distance as you can between you and electrical items, because we just don't know. We're starting to see some signs and some studies showing, but we don't know just how bad it's going to be. I'm afraid we're going to learn more and more over the coming years, and it'll be too late for some people.
All right, now you've got me scared, Dave, because I have a laptop computer, and guess where the laptop computer rests? On my lap.
On your lap.
And that, you know, it's connected to my lap, so I'm a little worried about that. Do you think that there's any danger from the radiation coming off a laptop computer?
I do, but we need more studies to prove it. So that's why we're saying precautionary. We don't have enough studies to say without a doubt how much damage. I mean, it may be a very small amount of damage. It may be a lot of damage. I don't want to find out it's a lot after the fact.
All right. We're talking to Dave Wentz, everybody. Dave, you do room by room as you go through the house. Now we're going to go to the next room, which is the bathroom. And if you've ever been at my house, you know that that is definitely a toxic area. What do we need to be worried about in the bathroom?
Well, we tend to use a ton of products, and those products all usually, unless you're getting the non-preservative, non-paraben products, majority of products have preservatives and paraben to kill the molds and fungus and things that would grow in that nice, warm, wet medium. And so what you have is a certain amount of toxic preservative put into each product to the maximum safe level according to the government and the manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay if you're using one product, but most of us use 10 to 15 different products. So you're getting 10 to 15 times the maximum safe level of these preservatives. One of the preservatives is often a paraben, which has been proven to be a gender bender. It causes, for instance, young girls to hit puberty sooner. And I have a 3-month daughter. I definitely don't want her growing up too soon. So you need to look for paraben-free products, or reduce the amount of products that you're putting on your skin that are absorbing into your skin. You have to realize skin care products are going straight to your bloodstream. And people don't think that. They think their skin is a barrier. But we've proven with the nicotine patch, the estrogen patch, estrogen, a large molecule can go straight through the skin to your bloodstream. So is the lotion that you're putting on your skin. So what's in that lotion that's going to your bloodstream? We say if you wouldn't drink it, don't put it on your skin because it's going the same place.
All right. Now, how do you know if a product is paraben-free, as you mentioned?
Well, those that are focused on it will definitely advertise it, but just reading the ingredient panel on the back, they're listed all the different types of parabens. And so just read that ingredient panel and see what you have in your products.
All right, fair enough. Let's turn our attention to the kitchen, Dave, if we can, because the kitchen is really the focal point of most homes today, where people spend the vast majority of their time. Activity is in that kitchen. Talk to me about food preparation and food storage issues and how they might be affecting our health.
Well, we all are aware that plastic is so bad for our environment, but I don't think people realize how much plastic breaks down as we're using it. Our plastic containers, our styrofoam containers, or our saran wrap, all of those plastics can break down and leach plasticizers and other chemicals into our food and water or drinks, and then we consume them. And so we just make the recommendation to switch to glass containers, to always transfer leftovers from the restaurant from a styrofoam container into a glass container before you put it in the fridge, and definitely, definitely never reheat food in a styrofoam container. The two things that break down styrofoam are heat and fatty foods. So we tend to put coffee and tea and hot chocolate in the styrofoam cups, and we leave our fatty pasta dish in the styrofoam and then reheat it, and it just leaches those ethylbenzene styrene into our food. So storage containers, get away from the plastic and get the glass if you can.
Wow. All right. Great stuff. We're talking to Dave Wentz, everybody, author of the book, The Healthy Home, Simple Truths to Protect Your Family from Hidden Household Dangers. Dave, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Healthy Home?
I want them to realize that once they're away, or once they see the warning signs, that there are easy ways, very simple, very inexpensive ways to reduce the burden on their bodies, the toxic burden. I don't want people to panic and throw their hands up and say it's impossible. Your bodies can deal with a lot. Our bodies are amazing. They can heal. They can deal with things until we pass a certain threshold of toxic burden. And that's when we start to see the bad things, the symptoms. And so by keeping our toxic burden down, our bodies don't have to live in a bubble to be able to stay healthy. But don't overdo the burden and expose our bodies to too many things that they just can't deal with. Avoid a few things here or there. Make a couple changes in your home. Look at things differently, and you'll have a much better chance.
Ah, that is wonderful. We're talking to Dave Wentz, author of the book, The Healthy Home. Dave, if people want to learn more about you, if they're fascinated by what you say, they want to learn more about you or your book or your company, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
MyHealthyHome.com.
MyHealthyHome.com. All right, that is great. Thank you, Dave, so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.